You can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
This is KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. I'm joined today by Street Roots reporter Jake Thomas to talk about his latest story for the paper. It's called City Ban on AI Software Used by Landlords Headed Back to Vote. Critics say landlords use the software to fix rent prices and withhold available homes during a housing crisis. Welcome to the show, Jake.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. This new article covers the reinvigoration of Portland City Council's proposed ban on AI algorithmic rental price fixing. I want to get into some of the changes here in a minute, but catch our listeners up to speed. What is the issue that this ordinance would address?
So this ordinance is addressed at some really high-tech software that's being used by landlords to determine rents. And that may not sound so bad, but really what ends up happening is they use this proprietary algorithms to get a sense of just what the market is like. And they end up, so a lot of cities have been looking at this. It's the really high-tech products like YieldStar is a big one. It's by a property management software company, RealPage. And it allows competing landlords to share non-public information about rents and about vacancies. And then it uses this high-tech algorithm to produce a rent or suggest a rental rate. And critics of this say that this amounts to price fixing, and that the landlords who should be competing with each other to lower rents to get a better price for tenants, that they're actually using the software to function in effect as a cartel and to keep rents high and even prevent units from coming online, just to keep supply limited and to keep prices high.
How widespread is this issue? Do we know that it's happening here in Oregon?
Well, it's hard to get a sense of an exact number. So the number that gets cited quite a bit is 32,000 rental units in Portland. And that is based on an analysis of a federal litigation brought against RealPage by the federal government and 10 state attorneys general, including Oregon. The lawsuit accuses RealPage of violating federal antitrust laws. But we really don't have a good sense of just exactly how much it is. That might be a low count, but it is hard to say because it's proprietary.
So this isn't the first time that trying to fix this has come up at Portland City Council. Why did the council back off from voting it through this spring?
So they were set for a vote in the spring, you mentioned, and other cities have done this, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Berkeley, and Seattle. The city of Berkeley was sued by RealPage, and they alleged that the lawsuit infringed on the company's free speech rights. The ordinance was based on misinformation, and it was overly broad and would have banned landlords from using really any computational analysis to determine rents. And so the city, they sent it back to the Housing and Homelessness Committee. And basically, it was really just to kind of tighten it up a little bit and make sure and say what's allowed, just to make sure they wouldn't get sued.
What are some of those tweaks that Councillor Murillo, who is sponsoring this proposed ban, what are some of the tweaks that they've made to the language to protect against these kinds of lawsuits that other cities have seen?
So it really spells out that or tries to spell out just what landlords can do that won't get them sued. So there's a whole section saying that price fixing does not include these activities. And some of those would include just doing routine property management activities, appraisals, feasibility studies, doing market research. It also allow collecting, analyzing, or communicating data on rental prices. Just the big caveat is that it does not, you can't use private information, and you can't, and landlords can't be doing this to collude with each other to try to keep prices high.
I believe I heard in the Housing and Homelessness Committee when this came back up earlier this month that some of these changes actually help to narrow down the list of critics who are still opposed to it. Zillow, I believe, is one of those who's no longer opposing the ordinance. But who are those folks who are still in opposition, and what are their concerns?
So there is still quite a bit of opposition from landlords. There was notably, it's the lobbyist representing RealPage. He says that there was some positive movement with the ordinance, but they still says it's all the caveats are still poorly worded, that it would still put unconstitutional restrictions on landlords' use of publicly available information, and it would it could result in a lawsuit that would hurt the city's reputation as a place that landlords would want to invest. Also, the lobbyist for Multifamily Northwest, which is one of the main landlord organizations, said that the fines are too high. The fines are range from $100 to $1,000 for each violation. He also said it could it's too broad, and it could affect some landlords that some property management companies that oversee multiple properties with different ownership structures, and they could get ensnared in the ordinance.
Where is this proposed ban on AI rental price fixing software at in the process of passing? What's happening with it now?
So earlier this month, the Housing and Homelessness Committee voted it out of committee. It is headed to the full council. It hasn't been scheduled for a vote, but I think it's going to happen sometime next month. There's a couple more amendments coming to the bill. They weren't quite ready when the bill was heard by the committee, but it does have an amendment that would, it's basically just a technical amendment that would make sure that Home Forward, which is the local agency that manages federal housing vouchers, it would make sure that agency is exempted. It would also have have a carve out for, you know, what are mom and pop landlords who have five or fewer units.
What do you hope folks take away from this story?
Well, this is since City Council set up its new form of government. This is one of the bigger policy initiatives on housing that the council has done so far. What's interesting about this ordinance is it has kind of revealed just an ongoing fight that the city's seen between landlords and people who want to have more regulation over housing, because everybody knows rent's too expensive. So it has really highlighted that ongoing conflict as well.
If listeners want to read this for themselves, what's the best way for them to do that?
They should go find their vendor and buy a paper.
Well, Jake, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
That was Jake Thomas, Street Roots reporter, speaking with me about his latest story for the paper. It's called City Ban on AI Software Used by Landlords Headed Back to Vote. Critics say landlords use the software to fix rent prices and withhold available homes during a housing crisis. More information is online at streetroots.org. For KBOO News in Depth, I'm Althea Billings.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings. I'm joined by Molly King and Deb Kemp, the executive directors of QDoc, the only festival in the world devoted specifically to queer documentaries. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, good to see you again.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. So, for folks who don't know, let's give them a little primer. What is QDoc? What's it all about?
You bet. We are a film festival that is based here in Portland, Oregon, dedicated to LGBTQ documentaries specifically. One of the only festivals in the world. There used to be two, one in Bucharest, but now that is our claim to fame as the only ones. They've kind of evolved into a humanitarian festival. But yeah, 100% documentaries, only fest in the world. And we are just here to elevate and celebrate queer filmmakers and queer stories.
And this is our 17th QDoc Film Festival, which is pretty exciting. We are this year actually at the Cinema 21 instead of, we've been at the Hollywood for quite a while and a few other theatres prior, but yeah, we're pretty excited to think about 17 years now of QDoc history.
And how long have you two been running things?
We're pushing a decade almost at this point.
Yep.
We've been involved with the festival for about 10 years, but I think that this is our seventh year running it. Or seventh or eighth year running the fest.
Yes.
And we're still in very close contact with the founders, David Wiseman and Russ Gage, who have been just incredible mentors of us. They are well known in the filmmaker community as filmmakers, as people behind the camera and behind the festivals. So yeah, it's been a real labor of love to take over the fest for the last decade.
Yeah, awesome. Well, let's get into it. I mean, so many great films ahead coming up this weekend, but let's talk about opening night.
Yeah.
What are you opening QDoc with?
Yeah, we're opening with Boy George and Culture Club, which we're pretty excited about. Alison Elwood is the director of that film. She's known for specifically music documentaries. We just really loved everything that Boy George, you know, stands for from a queer personality perspective, from a historic perspective. The film is highly entertaining and quite delightful. And we did actually ask if Boy George could join us. He did share with us his fee, which was $50,000. So we said, that would be awesome. Can you do a video instead? And so we will have a lovely video of him introducing himself to the QDoc audience, but we're really excited about that. And obviously we're going to have a live performance prior by the Goliaths of Glam, Izani. So for those of you that know them as performers, you're in for a real treat. We're really thinking this is going to kick off with quite a fun buzz on Friday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun night. The film isn't just for music documentary lovers either. There's this beautiful love story that's woven throughout the film as well. So I think, you know, folks who love Boy George will love the film, and folks who don't know much about Boy George and Culture Club will equally love the film as well.
Well, I also want to ask about Q&As, because it's not just showing the documentaries, it's also creating a conversation around them. That's something you guys do at QDoc all the time. So who's getting looped in this weekend? Who's going to be on the Q&A panel?
You know, we have about 21 guests joining us. The number keeps growing because we keep finding out that we're lucky enough to have some additional folks actually from some locally connected films that are going to be able to make it. So we have folks coming from across the globe. And we've got Diana Matheson, who's a Canadian superstar in the soccer world, is joining us for the pitch on Saturday. We've got Susan Powder, who folks might remember from Stop the Insanity back in the 90s. Susan Powder herself has a pretty incredible story, and she'll be in town and joining us to add a little context to the documentary that's showing on Saturday afternoon as well.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, who else?
Well, I was going to say, can't forget, of course, B-Boy Wicket for anyone who's into breakdancing. B-Boy is going to be in town and joining us for Q&A, and potentially we could talk him into some sort of performance on the very small stage. We'll see how we go. But yeah, he's been really fun to chat with on the socials. His energy seems amazing. The film is delightful about his coming out story. So very much looking forward to having him.
And during our shorts program, which there are a couple of local connections there, we have seven of the original land dikes from a film called Beyond Eden, which is by Al Johnstone. Al Johnstone is joining us. She's coming all the way from the UK for the North American premiere of her short film as part of our shorts program. And so in addition to the land dikes, we also have local filmmaker Emily Hamilton, mm-hmm. Who is premiering her documentary called Esther Godoy Wants You to Know That Butch Is Not a Dirty Word. And Esther Godoy, who has splits time between Portland and her home of Australia, is going to be joining us as well.
And we have an amazing film actually on Sunday night, Night in West Texas. It's very much focused on a true crime story and injustice. I'm not going to give too much away, but we do have the Oregon Innocence Project joining us for a Q&A with the director, Deborah Eskenazi, and subject Allison Clayton, who actually works for the Innocence Project of Texas. So that is going, it's such an incredibly gripping film. It's at 4:30 on Sunday, and I think the Q&A is going to be pretty riveting for that one.
There was a couple in there that I want us to touch on more before I get into that. I mean, do you have a favorite film in the lineup? Is there one in particular that you're most excited to have folks get to see and see the reaction?
Again, it's like all of these films, you become so involved in these films because we've seen them, you know, some of them multiple times, and you're talking with the directors and you know how much hard work has gone into the filmmaking, so it's easy to fall in love with each and every one of these films because they are handpicked by us. You know, we curate the fest. That's part of what we do. We're not a submission based festival. We handpick every single one of these films and invite folks to join us and share their stories. So I'm excited about all of them, but I'm really excited about Saturday Night, The Pitch, with as mentioned before, Canadian superstar Diana Matheson, and folks will see some familiar faces in this particular documentary. It basically, because Christine Sinclair, who calls Portland home even though she's Canadian, is featured heavily in this film alongside Diana. And basically, this film's about Diana Matheson building Canada's first ever professional soccer league and the challenges that she faced. And the executive producer, Natalie, is also going to join us, coming straight from Toronto. So I think from a soccer story, from a women in leadership story, from a people living their purpose story, I'm really looking forward to how the audience receives that film and for the Q&A afterwards.
Yeah, and I think, you know everything that Molly said, I think like Closing Night in the same regard is going to be a really strong film. It's an incredibly moving story about Angela Madsen, who was a former Marine, a three-time Paralympian, a 14-time Guinness World Record holder who took off in a rowboat to solo row across to Hawaii. And it's really amazingly shot, so much self footage of her on the water, and I'm not going to give anything away as to, you know, where this goes, but it's just to show, you know, that human spirit is it's a really, really like chilling story and really powerful, and it just really does show what we can all do individually despite the odds. So that's on Sunday at 6:30, and we will actually have we'll have Angela's wife in the theatre for a Q&A as well, so we're looking forward. She seems amazing. Looking forward to talking to her. Another film which I'm really excited about as well is The Birth of House. So for all of you that love house music, Saturday night, 8:45. It's a great film that actually speaks, and again, not going to tell you about it but too much, but it really speaks to how house music came about and how it was birthed and who the main drivers were in that movement, and obviously how it came so much from a black and queer community. So it's the footage is incredible. The history is amazing. It's fast-paced. It's really good fun. So if you're into house music, make sure you make it to that 8:45 on Saturday.
One film we haven't talked about is The Last Guest of the Holloway Hotel, which is taking place on Sunday at 2:15. And we're so excited that the director, Ramil Petros, will be in attendance and join us for a Q&A after that film. This film tells the story about this UK soccer player named Tony Powell, who was at the peak of his career and disappears. And next thing he's found running a rundown motel in Hollywood. And again, I don't want to give too much away on that film either, but the way this story unfolds and how he kind of reckons with himself, his past and his future is really, really moving. And it's going to be exciting to see how folks experience that film.
Question for you, because this is a handpicked festival, you're creating the balance of the whole lineup, right? Because there are folks who come and see every single movie, and then there's folks who come and, you know, experience one or two, the ones that they're most interested in. Are you thinking about the balance in tone and what sort of experiences you want to make sure you get covered each year at the fest?
Yeah, for sure. That's always, you know, we always look at it as a total festival, and every year we track actually really carefully festival pass sales, because to us that is the audience's way of telling us how rounded they've found the festival and how exciting they find the whole lineup. And this year, again, we've been really strong with our festival pass sales, which is super reassuring to us, because just like you said, we're really thinking about the whole festival, how rounded it is. Are we talking to, you know, local stories, international stories? Are we covering all sorts of different angles and age groups? It's really important, and it's super easy with each year. There's always a trend for film, and it's really easy to just get sort of locked in on whatever's on trend and not be able to find stories that maybe bring in different audiences or different, you know, angles of queer life. So this year feels really rounded, which is awesome. In the past, I think we may have even talked about this, we used to find it really difficult to find like lesbian stories or, you know, younger audience stories, and that's really changing with filmmaking costs, I think, as well. So it's great. It's, you know, there's the challenge of things going to streaming a lot earlier that we have to fight with, because we do try always and have succeeded so far to always be screening films that haven't gone to screening yet, to streaming yet. But at the same time, all of these new ways of, you know, promoting a film and making a film have brought together, you know, different types of film directors and really broadened the subject matter, which has been super cool for us.
Yeah, we really want to make sure that you know, when we're calling ourselves an LGBTQ plus festival, that we have representation of all of those letters and beyond, as well as, you know, to make sure that there's diversity represented. And we hope we've done that, and we think we have.
Mm.
I want to ask about the local connections at the festival. Of course, there's a lot of Oregon premieres of many of these, but folks specifically local being on the screen, talk to me about that.
Well, I want to start off with Emily Hamilton's film, Butch is Not a Dirty Word, which really, it's a short film. It's part of our shorts program. And it tells the story. It profiles Esther Godoy, who's a photographer and media maven, really, and how Esther not only captures Butch identities, but also really helps eliminate that stigma. And so we're excited that Emily's going to be there to join us. A bunch of folks from OPB will be there as well. And like we said, Esther will be in attendance too. So that's exciting. Also part of the shorts program is the film we briefly chatted about called Beyond Eden, which is Al Johnstone's film. She's a director from the UK, but she was fascinated by a population of women who call themselves the original Land Dykes, which are just outside of Southern Oregon, and went and lived with them and filmed them over a period of time. And it talks about this commune they had in the 70s, where they really just, you know, built homes and built lives and elevated each other as the original Land Dykes. And I believe it's 7, it might even be 8 of the women who are featured in this film are going to join us. And they range in age from all the way up to almost 80 years old. So that'll be really special to have them join us.
I don't know if we can call it quite like completely local, but Shelley's Leg is another of our shorts. And this is actually about, it's a Seattle-based story, but you know, for those people who obviously spend a lot of time in Seattle or have lived up there, it's by director Wes Hurley. It is the craziest story, the absolute craziest film. It is a complete trip. We are sending our audience on a roller coaster through the Q Shorts program. They're going to be exhausted after it, but like, don't miss it. Shelley's Leg, it just tells this amazing amazing story about a bar in Seattle that you literally will walk out and just question whether we're at a documentary film festival. The title itself is, you know, rather intriguing. Wes Hurley, we're hoping, is going to be here as well. He's great. We've screened another of his films, Potato Dreams of America, at previous QDocs. So, the whole shorts program's lining up to have a nice local focus.
What are you hoping folks take away from QDoc 2025?
Yeah, you know, I think in a time where things feel really divided, it's really important to come together as a community of LGBTQ folks, but also just as a community as a whole, as human beings. So we hope people feel like they have a safe space to gather. And we also are celebrating free speech. So, you know, every single one of these films is telling a story that needs to be heard. And we hope people walk away with, you know, open hearts and open minds and have been able to walk in somebody else's shoes and have a sense of empathy and maybe just get to, and maybe for some moments during the festival, just get to forget about, what's outside for a minute and know that you're in a safe space and you're with your family, your greater family.
Yeah, I think, you know, every year we get told by attendees how much they love QDoc and how much it's about being around the community. And some people only see each other at QDoc each year, and it's a lovely way to catch up again. So just like Molly said, you know, that sense of community is pretty insane when you're at the festival. And so just being in a theatre with, you know, with people you love, watching stories about some incredible queer folk. We just hope that they take away sort of a, you know, warm heart and a beautiful experience.
If our listeners are interested, where can they find out more information about QDoc?
Totally. Go to qdocfilmfest.org online, or you can go to Cinema 21. We've got the lineup all loaded up at their website as well. Don't forget, we have free tickets for anyone under 23 and for seniors as well, and then discounted tickets for students. So if you want to know about ticket pricing, just go to our website, qdocfilmfest.org. Other than that, you can go to Cinema 21 and jump and follow us on Instagram as well, where, you know, we're talking about all the films this week as we get going.
Yeah, and to learn more about the films too, like Deb said, jump on qdocfilmfest.org or cinema21.com, and we have trailers up for almost every film where people can get a real sense and feel for the look and feel of the films and learn more about who's coming. And we hope to see everyone there.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
We're so lucky in Portland to have incredible theaters like the Hollywood Theater and Cinema 21 and so many others. So support independent theaters, support these filmmakers. There's so many of these films. You know, the average documentary takes something like 7 years to make. So these are true labors of love. And, it's important. You know, you buying a ticket and coming to the fest supports your theater and it supports your filmmakers both locally and globally, and supports these stories that deserve to be told and deserve a platform.
Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks as always, Althea. We love coming to KBOO, and we so appreciate everything KBOO does for our community.
Absolutely.
I've been speaking with Molly King and Deb Kemp, the executive directors of QDoc, the only festival in the world devoted specifically to queer documentaries. QDoc is on this weekend at Cinema 21. More information is online at qdocfilmfest.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.
Some gravy in your ear. This is Wavy Gravy, Temple of Accumulated Error and Voice of Woodstock, telling you you are listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM. The 90s are the 60s. Standing